In just a few moments to some scriptures. We're going to continue, especially tonight, in kind of a teaching context on the incredible, indisputable, indispensable love of God. That's a long title tonight, but that's the absolute truth about the love of God this evening. Not doing this just because it's Valentine's Day, because we've been doing this for several weeks now, because we've been wanting to resolve and solve so many issues in our life by just stimulating folks to fall in love with Jesus. Amen. If I ask any congregation that's gathered together tonight, for the most part, I believe almost 100% of them would say, if I said, do you love the Lord? It would almost be a given. I love the Lord. But there's only one way to acceptably love the Lord according to the Bible. And it's not the religious brand of kind of shallow love that we offer him, the emotional type stuff. I'm glad that Pamela told me something the other day. We're going on 47 years of marriage. And she said, you know, when we first got married, I was infatuated with you. Amen. It's easy to get infatuated with someone and have an emotional, strong emotional feelings for someone. But she said, after a while, I fell in love with you. And it's the falling in love that separates that emotion from a deep devotion, heartfelt commitment. And that's the difference. And we don't always have that in marriage when people go into marriage. I look at Brother and Sister Taylor and I see committed love. I feel that's, I can't look in their hearts, but they're still together and they're sitting close. Can you say amen? So I'm assuming that they're, and I see a man over here with you, and he's not just a spring chicken. I mean, can I say that you're not a spring chicken? I mean, you're a chicken, but not a spring chicken. Can you say, man, I call you a chicken? Well, I'm a chicken too, but they got me a mug when I was 60 years old. And every time you turn it up to drink out of it, it tilts something on the inside. It's a porcelain mug. And it says, you ain't no spring chicken. First it crows and says, you ain't no spring chicken. And I thought, I don't need to be reminded of that, amen? I really don't, but I still have the mug. And that was 3 years ago. I don't know what's next. I mean, they got me a black cake and black candles for my 40th birthday, some people in the neighborhood that we lived in, and that was a great thing, you know. But here I still am. I'm glad that what we have together is not just emotion, it's devotion, because that's the only thing that's going to take you through the hard times. Emotion won't take you through that. Emotions come and go. Devotion is what God is looking for. So when we say we love the Lord, we can say it in a very, we mean well, but we don't understand how we're to love God. There's only one way to love God. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all of your soul. It's everything you are and everything that you have. No wonder the early church thrived under persecution, because they had that depth of devotion. They had that deep devotion to God. Amen. In the Hall of Fame, the Faith Hall of Fame, there are the others. And isn't it amazing that those that God honored the highest, you hear the least about when anyone preaches from Hebrews chapter 11? Amen. We talk about Samson. We hear a lot about Samson and David and Jephthah. We just hear a lot about Moses and Abraham. And we hear all of those great victory testimonies. But we don't hear about those testimonies that came because people were so devoted to Christ that they wouldn't accept deliverance even if they were going to be tortured and killed for his name's sake. And yet God puts them in the highest place of honor. He didn't say of anybody else in that Faith Hall of Fame, the world was not worthy of these. But when it came to these martyrs, he said of them, the world was not worthy. Can you say amen? They were so devoted to Jesus Christ. Well, that's something that's lacking, I believe, in the American church. And one of the reasons it's lacking is because of the lack of persecution. Persecution would thin us out, to be honest with you. Amen. Persecution still thins people out. If we had to put our job on the line in order to come to church, a lot of people would think twice. If going to church means you're going to get rich, then, hey, there's nothing at risk. There's no risk involved in serving God. Can you say amen? And if everybody's going to get rich for serving Christ, then we're going to serve him for the wrong reason. Because you need to serve him for what he's done for you on the cross. And the fact that your soul is sealed for heaven if you keep your trust in him and follow him. Can you say amen? It's not even escaping hell. It's not even gaining heaven that is stimulating people to go to churches. There are churches built upon the idea that you're going to get very wealthy. You're going to have all of these houses and lands and things and fortune and fame. And we've built ministries and we've built a doctrine on it that has brought the world's values into the church. By the way, your father cares about all of these issues, but there's nowhere I read to where he's in any obligation to make any of us the rich and regal of this world. We're rich and regal in another world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we're supposed to have our heart. Listen, I just want to quote a few things that we're going to read a few things. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, if you be risen with Christ, if you've been genuinely born again, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and not the things of this world. Set your affection on things above and not the things below. Can you say amen? And verse 4 says, and mortify your members which are upon the earth. Put to death this old flesh and this old life that is lived to the values of a fallen world instead of the new values of a kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God is not for self-indulgent, Christ teaches. It is not meat and drink. Meat and drink is for what? It's for your natural body. The kingdom goes beyond that. It is not for self-indulgence, but it's righteousness, it is peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus told them very clearly to beware of surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Amen. That day won't catch you as a thief, because it's going to come upon the world like a trap that is sprung. And he said, you're of a different people. You're of a different culture. You're of a different kingdom than the kingdoms of this world. Praise God. Isn't it good that we are a different breed tonight and we're following a different master tonight? But this has infiltrated the church, and it's here. It's actually the world in the church, and the accommodating church is allowing it to happen. I lay the blame at pulpits where it belongs, because, amen, so goes the pulpit, so goes the pew. And we've got Christian. I don't even know if that term fits, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to be very blunt and forthright tonight. Amen. God chastens every son that he loves. If I start preaching false doctrine, something's going to happen in my life. I am saved. If I go after the riches of this world and I start walking around in pride and arrogance, something is going to happen to bring me down. You know why I can say that? Because I am born again. I do belong to Christ. There's an assumption that people are getting away with things and God's letting them get away with it. Honey, that's not the issue. None of God's children get away with things. If you belong to God, listen, if you can sin without consequence, here's a news flash. You don't belong to God. Say, Brother Bimba, you don't know. Yes, I do know. The Word of God is very clear. He chastens every son that he loves. In other words, if you belong to him, he takes parental responsibility, and that doesn't mean just to provide for you in terms of your physical and material needs, but to provide the disciplines. Hello? That's a word you don't hear in church very often, do you? Church discipline. He provides the disciplines. Chastens every son without exception that he loves. Scourges everyone without exception that he receives. So one of the litmus tests or acid tests of our testimony is whether or not we ever get chastened. If you walk in unforgiveness, look out. If you know you need to forgive, you refuse to do it, and you justify it, and you determine you're going to walk in it. I've lived long enough, pastored long enough, interacted with people long enough to watch this thing in action. Amen? If you be without chastisement, what does the Scripture say? You're bastards and not sons. Now, I'm convinced tonight, I would say it to anybody. I am absolutely thankful. We prayed for you, brother. Prayed for your flat tire. Hallelujah. Prayed you would make it. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. Listen. He chastens every son that he loves. To prove that, one of the churches that made him the sickest were still his. Laodicea wasn't a bunch of unsaved people that needed to get saved. They were saved people because he chastened them. Can you say, amen? He didn't just come to correct their doctrine, but he came to chastise them. Listen to me. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I'll come in and sup with you, and you sup with me. And then he gets into this materialistic attitude that they had adopted. You say I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But I say you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. He counseled them to buy the get into the true riches, literally, to buy me gold tried in the fire that you might be rich in white raiment, that you might be clothed in the shame of your nakedness, do not appear in you. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might be able to see. See what? See what Jesus is saying? No, see yourself as God sees you. Can you say amen? To see yourself as God sees you. And he said, if you don't do this, because I would that you were hot or cold, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. There's a very clear word for that. And it's literally something that makes you gag. It was gagging him to watch a church just have values that reflect what is important in this world and have no values that reflect the kingdom of God. I'm rich. With worldly goods doesn't reflect God's kingdom. It has nothing to do with the true riches. Some of the most spiritually committed people I've ever met was in a third world country that didn't have anything comparative to what any of us in this room possess tonight. They would look at everybody in here and say, you are very rich. I remember a man trying to sell me a painting, the hand painting of the fruit and stuff. Whoever did that, the artist, was very good at it. It was a great painting. I would have liked to have brought it home from Haiti, but I'd given all my money to the kids and to the people. I mean, my heart just broke, and I was just, everything I had. It's a good thing they served food on the plane, because I'd have fasted all the way home. I couldn't have bought a McDonald's hamburger, because I just gave it all away before I left. But they brought up, on the day I was leaving, they brought a painting up and said, sir, would you like to buy this? And they began to negotiate the price down. I said, I don't have any money left. I've given it all away. I'm sorry. I'm on my way back to America. I said, oh, but you could afford it. You could afford it. And I'm telling them, I'm broke. I'm broke. How many's ever been, I mean, you know, pretty near the bottom like that? I'm broke. And you know what? He says, oh, you cannot be broke. You look like a very rich man to me. Can you say, man? And I don't believe he was doing it just to sell a painting. I believe our life compared to that life, we're very rich people. Can you say, man? But in America, instead of being thankful and content with what we have and seeing ourselves as rich because we know Christ and we have food and raiment, amen, we are being taught and told that God wants us to have more and beyond what we need for life and godliness. You know, the Bible said he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Well, life and godliness is what it's all about in the kingdom. That's all we need to enjoy and employ the kingdom of God in our life. Can you say, man? Having food and raiment, and what else? His promise to never leave us nor forsake us. We should therewith be what? Dissatisfied and always grasping, like the world is always grasping. Ever getting, but never getting enough. Can you say, man? They asked John D. Rockefeller, what would it take to make you happy? He said, more money. Well, when you got everything, more than you can possibly spend, how can more make you happy? It's a lie, really. It won't make you happy. But that proves that having it in and of itself is not enough. There's a hole inside of us that only God can fill. You can't fill it with sex. You can't fill it with things. You can't fill it with fortune. You can't fill it with fame. You can't fill it with alcohol. You can't fill it up with drugs. You can keep pouring in, but you can never fill it. That's why the woman at the well was so glad to hear someone tell her that I've got water that you know not of. If you knew who it was you were speaking to, you would ask of me and I'd give you this water and you would never thirst again. Can you say amen? She said, Lord, then give me this water. The church needs to be representative of what it's like to not be thirsty. To be so happy, fulfilled, and satisfied that we're literally a hallelujah from head to foot. Glory to God. So when the values of the world come into the church and then the church's doctrines begin to match the values of this world, we don't have devotion to Jesus Christ. Amen? We're serving him for the wrong reasons. he turned to some people that had been part of that crowd that enjoyed the blessing of the multiply of the fish and the loaves. And he said, if you don't see these kind of material-oriented miracles that are for your physical immediate need, you wouldn't be here. You're here for the self-indulgent immediacy. You're not here for the eternal. How many know Jesus came to do more than just fill our bellies with food that he multiplies or with water that he turns to wine? Except you see miracles, he said, you won't believe. Amen? God came for a higher reason than just to meet our felt needs. And by the way, the wonderful thing about our Lord, though, he's such a gracious and good God. He said, if that kingdom ever gets first place in your life, to where nothing is more important than my kingdom, your Father knows what you have need of. Amen? He's concerned about that. He's cognizant. Amen? And he said, if the kingdom gets first, your Father knows what you have need of. And he said, I don't want you to even think about that. I want all of your energy, all of your focus to be on the kingdom. You say, well, how can I not think about it? Well, get the kingdom first. You won't have to think about it because God will step in and see to it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these things that he knows we need and we knows we need. Can you say amen? Shall be what? Added to you. And the glory of it is we won't be part of the world's culture. We will understand there's something more important than a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger bank account. And that is, amen, that we keep our hearts set on things above and not the things beneath. We're risen with Jesus Christ. We're called to live with him forever in heaven. And the Bible said if you're going to lay up treasure, don't even think about it here. Lay it up where the moth can't corrupt it. I told you about the couple in Lakeland. It's in the Lakeland Ledger that won a contest with the Home and Garden Channel. So not too very long ago, just a few months back, they had a contest going that you could win a $1 million home in California. And they won it. A couple in Lakeland, Florida, won a $1 million home in California. And they were so elated when they found out they owned property in California and a $1 million house sitting on it. Until they started figuring out how they're going to pay the taxes. Can you say amen? In California, where taxes are through the roof, in those kind of neighborhoods where $1 million homes are, if they gave it to me, I'd have to turn right around and sell it. And that's what they were talking about doing, selling that sucker, because we can't live in it on what we get in each month. Amen? It's amazing. I was amazed when Ed McMahon, after all the millions that he made, had to put his house on the market because it was going into foreclosure. Because he lived to the level of his income. Enough, it seems to be never enough. I'm going to go on record as saying something. It takes me back that some spiritual leaders that are supposed to be leading us toward heaven and the kingdom. Can you say amen? That enough never seems to be enough. And to justify that wrong, I'm not talking about living in poverty. I haven't taken a vow of poverty. I don't need to live in poverty to bring glory to God. I have a Father that takes care of our needs. Amen. We've never missed a meal since we've become Christian. We've never been without a vehicle for long that God didn't somehow provide. I remember when I put the kingdom first in my own personal life, when I began to put the kingdom first, I began to give to God, I began to serve God, I began to put him first in everything, and my wife and I came into agreement about that kind of commitment. I remember when my car, during preparation for a funeral that was going to be at the end of the week, I remember when my car, literally, I had made the last payment on my automobile. The last payment. Oh, it was such a rejoicing time. I made the last payment. Oh, when I cranked up from work and headed home, something happened. Something made a big, huge noise. Smoke began to boil out of it. And parts began to fall out underneath my car. Amen. The estimate I got was we can put you in a brand new engine. But the car itself now has so many years and miles on it, the transmission may go next, other things may need fixing, and by the time they tabulated an estimate on it, I couldn't afford all the stuff that's needed just to get that car back on the road. And I'm sitting at home, borrowed my stepdad's pickup truck, trying to go to work and then take care of funeral arrangements. But the kingdom had been made first in our life, and the Father knew what we had need of. And a family had just lost a son who skipped school with his brothers. They went swimming in the phosphate pits near Plant City, some phosphate pits. And the younger brother got out too deep, and his brother made one reach for him and touched his fingertips, and then they never saw him again. And I came out from work, and they were dragging for him. And I went with a deacon from our church, and I went, a little church we were pastoring in Plant City, to tell the parents when they found him to confirm that their son was indeed dead. And there's no. And I'm ministering to this family in their grief, and I'll be honest, I'm not putting a badge on me. I'm telling you, there was not one thought concerned about how I'm going to get to work, because my stepdad's going to have his truck back. What am I going to do? This wasn't about me anymore. This was about not only the boy that drowned, but the people in that family that needed Christ as their Savior. This was a terrible, terrifying way to wake up a family that you don't need to be playing church anymore. Can you say amen? We need to be very, very close to God, because we don't know what life is going to bring, and we need Him desperately in our life. And I wasn't thinking about a car, and I remember I took care of the funeral, and now it's beginning to settle in on me. I don't have a way to get to work, and my stepdad has to have his truck back. He was a long-distance truck driver, and when he got in, he's ready to do some serious fishing, and he needed his pickup to haul his boat and all of that, and we're coming down to something has to give. And I got a call on the telephone, and a man from Plant City said, I want you to meet me in Brandon, that I knew personally, and he didn't come to our church anymore, but I knew him from the past. And he said, I want you to come to Brandon, because I'm thinking about buying another vehicle, and I need your opinion. And I thought, I don't know. I felt just a little bit of, I thought, he's getting ready to go get him a new car. I don't even have an old clunker to drive to work. And he wants me to go help him look for his new car, to share in the joy of his new car. And I need a car. But, I just said, all right. I said, I'll come with you, but I got a lot of things to take care of. All I need is an hour. I'll come get you. I'll bring you home. All right. 1 hour. That's great. So we get over to Brandon. I'll never forget. We were walking around this car lot, and we found this. It was a, remember the Matador? Does anybody remember that car? How long did they make that? It was American Motors made a Matador. And they were a pretty car. This one was cream on the bottom with a green, one of those whatever tops, Landau tops or whatever you call it. It had 3,700 miles on it. I had never seen a car with 3,700. Amen. Every car I ever bought had 82,562, 103,899. Can you say amen? Saw one time had 99,000 on it, and I thought, wow, this is a good deal right here. This thing don't even have 100,000 miles yet. Can you say amen? So I was walking with him, and he walks up, and he said, what do you think of this one? I said, man, this is not a used car. This is a new car. 3,700 miles? Come on, man. Now don't let me sway you. But if I was going to get a car on this lot, I'd get that one with 3,700 miles, because that thing is going to be good for a long time. Amen. So anyway, he said, well, I want you to wait right here. And he went with the salesman. They went in the office, and I'm waiting for him to make the deal. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm saying, I got to get back home. I ain't got no ride. I've not got no way to get to work next week. I got to get me a vehicle, make arrangements, do something. My stepdad got to have his truck back. He going fishing. He ain't going to let me keep this truck. Amen. He'd been out there on that road, and he's ready to go fishing. And I remember him calling me. He said, come here. Can you come in here a minute? I thought I was going to witness something, a loan or whatever, and they needed a witness. And I walked in the room, and he said, I want you to sign right here. And I looked, and it was the bill of sale, the title, everything. He had ran in and wrote a check for that car, and he wanted me to sign for it, so it, when I left, there would be not a penny owed, amen, and it would be my car, my vehicle. And I started weeping and shouting and giggling all at the same time, crying and giggling. Amen. I mean, how can you just weep alone when God is blessing you? Nobody, listen, my name is not Oral. And it's not Billy, it's Bobby. Are you sure you got this right, Lord? Amen. First thing, something that powerful had happened to me. And I'm not telling, listen, it wasn't the car. Do you understand where I'm coming from? It was not the car. Oh, yes, I needed the car. Oh, yes, I appreciated the car. But it wasn't the car. It was the fact that God was concerned and speaking to somebody and put me on their heart. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he twisted their arm. Amen. I don't know what he did to get them to do that. I know I wasn't out ingratiating myself to anybody. I know I was not seeking a car. I do know what I was seeking. And it wasn't a car in order to get a car. Amen. I was seeking with all of my heart, with everything I am and everything I have, seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that the Father knows that you have need of, they shall be added unto you. Can you say amen? If you need your material needs met, don't seek material things. Now, it doesn't mean it's wrong to pray for a car. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you pray harder for a car than you do for souls, then it's out of balance. My Bible said that we have not primarily because we ask not. We don't make God our source. We don't go to Him with everything. And there's a second reason. First is a faith issue, but the next one isn't. It's a matter of our values. It's a matter of what it's truly for. And it says you ask not, you have not because you ask not in the book of James. And you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. Now it's not a faith issue at all anymore. People are under the misconception that if you just build your faith, amen, because we got this whole name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I heard a guy say the other day, we blabbed it, we grabbed it, and bless God, we got it. Well, they didn't get it from God. They got it from people that want what they have. It's people sending in the seed that made that man rich. Their seed offerings. Thank you for the hearty amen. Yes, it is. It didn't just fall out of heaven. It's people buying their books and tapes on how to get it. Amen. I love Abraham's attitude. I love Abraham's attitude. Abraham is used of God to deliver the two kings that were held for ransom in the scripture. Abraham and his band or his men, God gave him a supernatural victory to deliver two kings held for ransom by enemies. And those two kings told Abraham they would make him rich for delivering them. Well, Abraham knew if God hadn't stepped in, I'm not Rambo. I can't get out here and do this. There is no real Rambo, by the way. Amen. Amen. Did you realize that people with automatic weapons and you're running around and you're grunting a little bit and knocking them down or whatever you do? Honey, that's not real war. That's not real life. Abraham knew if we got a victory here, God stepped in. I'm not taking credit for a God-given victory. Amen. And I'm not going to make man my source either. There's a time to receive an offering. There's a time to refuse it. Depending on what strings are attached to it and how the kingdom is going to be viewed. Can you say, we need to be concerned about how people are going to judge the kingdom. I love Paul's attitude, don't you? He said, you know our conversation, which meant behavior among you. How we coveted no man's gold or apparel. We wasn't over here chumming up the businessman. Cutting compromises for the businessman in church. So that he can give us the big check. But we're going to nail everybody else and hold the standard. But we're not going to hold the standard for that guy. Because he's a large contributor. And we're going to ingratiate ourselves to him because of what he has to offer. Paul says, you know better than that. When we came to preach the gospel, we didn't come here coveting any man's gold or apparel. He said, in fact, when I come, I don't want to even deal with the offering. I want you to lay it aside. I want you to take it up when I come. And listen, he said, I want you to know something else where the gospel was suspect. He said, we worked with our own hands to provide for our own needs. Can you say amen? We didn't come here concerned about how many more people we can get to make us rich. Amen. We came here because we care about your soul. We're genuinely concerned about where you spend eternity. Can you say amen? We don't want the gospel nor the kingdom to be misrepresented. We are not covetous preachers trying to ingratiate ourselves to you so that we can become rich and get everything that we want. We're the apostles of Jesus Christ. And the marks of an apostle that he bore. And he said, I bear the marks of an apostle. It wasn't the Mercedes. And there's nothing wrong with the Mercedes. I could drive one. Somebody gives me one, I'll drive it. I'm not ashamed to drive it. But there's a point. There's things I wouldn't drive. If they gave it to me, I wouldn't drive it. You know why? Because people say, he's in it for the riches. And I want them to know that's not why I'm in it. Amen? Preachers need to be concerned about how the world is viewing our motive for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they're looking, they're watching, they're gauging. I saw something in the Tampa Tribune that really, really thrilled me. There was a man came back from one of the Iraq campaigns, and he was completely paralyzed from the neck down. He had this motorized wheelchair, but he'd never go see his brother, who lived in an apartment on the upper level. And this church found out about it in their community. And they took up an offering for him from that church. And they bought him a special wheelchair that you pull up to steps and you push a button. And that thing begins to climb those steps with you all the way up to the second floor. And it costs many thousand dollars because it's custom made. And they raised the money. And it was in the Tribune and it was in another state. So it was actually on the AP wire services that went out to all the papers. And what a wonderful thing for the church to do. To help somebody. Can you say amen? The world really doesn't find fault with the church helping people. They don't even find fault with the pastor having a decent home and a decent car. You know what they're finding fault with? Amen. They're finding fault with preachers that are ever getting but never getting enough. Can you say amen? That are living life to show their faith by what they possess when the Bible clearly teaches that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. How many know the kingdom? The kingdom of God is not about how much of the world's wealth you can accumulate. Amen. Does God make some people rich on rare occasions? Everybody say rare occasions. He made Abraham rich. But Abraham, the way he lived, no wonder he could trust Abraham with riches. Abraham lived out his life in tents. Is that thunder or the fair? Or that's probably the Lord saying, preach on, preacher. I think this is pleasing. I'm not just trying to be critical. I'm trying to be factual. We need to bring this thing back to where God has it. Listen, it's not any gospel. It's not a polluted, perverted form of the gospel that is going to bring Jesus back. There's a particular, peculiar, precise gospel that's going to bring Jesus back. When this gospel of the kingdom of God is preached into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This gospel of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And it comes not with observation. The true riches is not something you can see and place a material worth or value on. Hallelujah. It's something within. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hid in a field. And this is not for someone seeking treasure. This is someone plowing a field. And he hits something that he thinks there's a rock, a stone. I better stop and dig it out. And when he digs it up, and by the way, he's plowing for somebody else. He don't own the field. And he hits this thing. And he's been hired to plow this field for this man. And he hits it. And he digs around it. He digs it up. And guess what he finds? A treasure. I used to live on Kennedy Hill. 579 and 92. There was no interstate. There was one artery east and west. And it was Highway 92. And we used to play in those woods. And those woods were full of everything. We loved it. It was old Florida. I mean, bobcats and rattlesnakes and coral snakes and varmints and all kinds of stuff. And way back in a little bit deeper in the woods, people used to hear a panther, or as my great-grandmother said, an old painter. Old painter don't paint your house. He scare you half to death. They used to hear a panther hollering back in those woods. I saw foxes across the road. I saw bobcats in my backyard. I don't mean house cats with their tails cut off. I'm talking about the other type. And we used to get back in those woods, and there was a huge oak tree back there. And there was still like it had been dug out, and it had been years ago, but it had been dug out under that oak tree. And what had happened was a man came with a map. He hired three men with shovels to go and dig under that oak tree, and they found a chest. He threw it in an old pickup truck and drove off with it. Nobody knew what was in it. He gave them each a few bucks for digging the hole, and he took off with something in it. Oh, but everybody used their imagination then. We didn't have to know. We knew. Oh, he had a treasure chest. Amen. I used to dream about it. What if there was another little one under there? And I would be poking around with a stick and find it. I already had a Sears Roebuck catalog in our outhouse that I read faithfully. Can you say amen? Amen. You heard the story, didn't you, about the... Yeah, you heard that. I won't tell it to you, but amen. Listen, Sears catalog was on my wish book. Everybody say my wish book. I had a wish book. I used to dress my daddy up in pretty clothes because he went and played in church on Sunday. I'd open that Sears catalog, and I'd look in there and see a suit and tie. And I said, boy, if I got rich, I'll buy my daddy that suit and tie. Then I'd turn over, and I'd say, you know, sometime my mama will go with us, but I'd like to buy her that pair of shoes. Oh, isn't that a pretty shiny purse? I like the shiny purses. I didn't know what was good or bad, but I like the shiny ones. I'd buy her that purse, and then it was me. Oh, look at that bicycle. I'd get that bicycle. Oh, wow. If I was only rich. But somebody found something under that old oak tree. They dug real deep to get it. They hauled it off, and we all surmised it must have been something somebody buried of great worth. And that a man finds a treasure that's hid in the field. What does he do? What does he do? He sells everything he has, everything of this world's value. Amen. To have something that is beyond anything that he possesses. Can you say amen? That's what the kingdom is like. He said it's also like a man, amen, that has found a pearl. This man is a seeker. The other one stumbles on it, but he knows what he's got, and he knows it's worth everything to obtain it. Another man is a seeker. You don't stumble on a pearl. You dive for it. And he finds a pearl of great price. The biggest pearl that's ever been found. And you know what he does? He's located it. And the man don't know what he's got. See, that's the good thing about people that go looking for stuff to sell. If they can find a barn full of antiques and somebody don't know what they got, and they can offer them $500 for the kit and caboodle. Can you say amen? It's hard to do that because people find it out on the internet just what they got. And it's harder to do that today. But that's business. But anyway, he finds a pearl of great price, and for the joy thereof, he sells everything he has. He said, because this is worth more than anything I possess. The church will only come back to where it needs to be when we see the kingdom of God as worth more than anything that we possess. Can you say amen? And part of that kingdom is the love of God. Part of that our great King. Everybody say our great King. Hallelujah. If we're going to love him with the devotion that is necessary to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, because you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross in order to follow him. You can't have self-indulgence preached on one hand and be a disciple of Jesus on the other. Amen. They just won't fit together. Spiritual hunger in America has been replaced with a message to reinforce self-indulgence. Church has to be high impact. The cross, believe me, is not the drawing for people to be in church in many of the mega churches on Sunday. Not all of them, but many of them. The cross isn't drawing it. They even admit just the preaching of the cross won't bring them in. They've admitted we're just going to find out what their felt needs are, their immediate felt needs. So it can't be the gospel of the kingdom, because it's not about anything to do with that, primarily. And we get them in the building, we'll bring them to Christ. Honey, if they come in the building for the wrong reason, you're not going to bring them to Jesus. You're going to get them in the building. Young people are not going to change their moral standards because you build them a skateboard park and have Christian rap playing. The divorce rate among Christians, we used to be able, and if you've been divorced, it takes two people to make it. If Pamela left me tomorrow, it wouldn't be a thing I could do about it. Amen? So I'm not judging anybody, but I'm going to tell you, we used to have a better record in the Church of Jesus Christ. We used to have a better record among leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ. But we don't have it. We're losing it. The standard is dropping and dropping and dropping. And the victory that we teach, we're not manifesting. Amen? We're talking it, teaching it, preaching it, but we're not walking it. We're not walking it out. Christian man, Christian woman that can't resolve issues in order to obey God, that is not victory. I don't care what kind of car they drive. I don't care how many people buy their tapes. It's not victory. If, oh, shalabaki salam, listen to me very clearly. Amen. We've lost something. Amen. And what we've lost is an emphasis on the kingdom of God. We got an emphasis on this world, an emphasis on the material. If you don't believe it, turn on your television. There are certain preachers that preach nothing else ever. Everything is tied to the material world. What took me back one Easter as I was trying to find Easter inspiration. A Sunday morning getting ready for church. Something to inspire me because it's resurrection. The whole Christian faith hinges on whether he came out of that tomb. And to hear somebody talking about money on Resurrection Sunday, it made my spirit just draw up inside. I thought, how in the world can we have something so important to the all of Christendom and to the world? Amen. And the preacher preaching about money on Resurrection Sunday, because that's where their heart is. The abundance of what? The heart. The mouth speaketh. We need money. If you say you don't need money, then you need to repent of lying. We need money. Can you say, man, I need money? I can't even fulfill my fatherly and husband responsibilities if I don't make enough money to care for my family. We need money, but I do not need to compete with Hollywood. I have no need, nor God has no need. He doesn't show the world his kingdom by putting us up there with Donald Trump. Amen? God doesn't care if any of us ever arrive to that level. Could care less. Why? Because his kingdom is not of this world. And it doesn't reflect the values of this world. And let me tell you one more thing about his kingdom. Jesus said the things that are highly esteemed among men. How does God look at the same thing from his vantage point? They're abomination. That means it stinks to high heaven. Because it reeks of self-sufficiency, self-exaltation, pride. Amen. It makes man, listen, they that would be rich, that's the goal of your life, fall into many deceitful snares, hurtful sins. Can you say amen? That's what you're after. So many people are after that. That's why they go to church. Remember one time a young man went from our church to a Bible college that was teaching just that stuff, came back and frammed on my desk with his fist and told me that God don't want me living in poverty. I said, he don't want me living in it either. And I'm not. But God could care less whether I become a Christianized Donald Trump type of character. He wants me to be like his son, And there's a big difference in competing with this world and wanting to be like Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, amen, he humbled himself, took on himself the form of a servant, and became obedient even to the death of the cross. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life self-indulgently to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. If my kingdom were of this world, I'd call angels. I certainly wouldn't suffer and die on that cross. But my kingdom, Peter, don't ever forget it. My kingdom is not of this world. Praise God. Amen. Jesus, I want to follow you. What would they tell anybody that wants to sign up as a follower of Christ today? Good choice. Wise choice. Financially, physically, sound choice. You would become rich beyond your wildest dreams. What did Jesus tell the man that said, I want to follow you? What did he tell him? Amen. The foxes, the birds, the Son of Man. Are you game? Is the kingdom worth everything you are and everything you have, if necessary? If it isn't, he said, forget it. And that's exactly why Judas wanted something for his time. Judas got into it for the wrong reason. He's called the son of perdition. He represented the values of this world. Listened to Jesus' teachings, but he was in it for the wrong reason. Oh, by the way, he was good at not divulging the true attitude of his heart for a while. How do you know? Because when he said, one of you is going to betray me, Peter said, it's got to be Judas. Just look at him. You can tell. Look at them eyes. They're glowing red. No, that's not what he said, is it? You know what Peter said? Amen. He said, is it I? Is it I? Could it be me? Could it be me? And he wasn't talking about Peter's failure under pressure. He's talking about a man that had it in his heart already. Amen. He said, one of you has a devil. You've given over. I'm going to tell you something. I believe I can tell you some, give you some meat tonight. And I'm going to give it to you. There are people out there that we assume are saved and they just got the wrong doctrine. Let me tell you something. If they're saved, God's going to bring them down. If they're saved walking in pride, if they're walking in sin, God's going to expose it. Can you say, man, if they really are saved, God's going to expose that sin. He'll never cover it up, amen, for any reason. If we don't get it right, he will expose it. It's going to come out. Everybody that's getting chastised out there, the real deal children of Almighty God, everybody that's sinning with impunity don't belong to him. And I don't care if they're in a pulpit. I don't care if tens of thousands follow them. Can you say, man, put it on record. They do not belong to God. He chastens every son that he loves. Can you say amen? That pride, that arrogance, that attitude, amen. It would listen, Paul, blessed I be lifted up above measure. There was given to me an emissary from hell to buffet me. Amen. God won't allow me to slip into that pride. God resists that. He gives grace to the humble. Somebody give God praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. 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 My dad asked me, how can they keep preaching that and keep living that way and get by with it? I said, they don't belong to Jesus, plain and simple. Yeah, but they said they got saved. That don't matter. Many are going to call him Lord. There's a day coming when many are going to face him as their judge and they're going to call him Lord. What's his answer to those people? Can you just claim it? You can't just name it and claim it then, honey. It's not you claiming him. He got to claim you. And no man comes to the Father except to me, except my Father, draw him. You don't just get saved. You respond to a call. Can you say, man, you respond to conviction. Oh, I'll get saved when I'm old and gray. Honey, you're not going to get saved if you could live a million years. You don't just get saved when you decide to get saved. You respond. No man comes. No man comes on his own terms. He comes when I call him, or he can't come at all. And if I don't call him, he can't come. They that were with him in the book of Revelation are called. chosen and faithful. Can you say amen? If you're really saved, you've been called of God to salvation. And he calls us all through the cross of Christ. And you've been convicted by the Holy Spirit. Because when he comes, he will convince the world of sin. We can talk about sin and not be censored where the Holy Ghost is moving. Can you say amen? The only people rejecting that are sinners who don't want to humble themselves and confess their sins. They have a real problem with that three-letter word. They don't have any problem with the four-letter words. It's the three-letter word that gets their goat. If any man says he has no sin, he's a liar and doesn't walk in the truth. But if we confess our sins, that word, I heard them discussing on one of the local television channels that we don't even use that word anymore. I heard preachers that minister to 30,000 in their church and tens of thousands by radio and television saying, we don't talk about sin. Our people are hurting. They're broken. They just need to be lifted up. Honey, your people are on their way to hell if they're not saved, and they need to be delivered. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room tonight. That's not a pastor, and that's not the gospel. We just had a funeral where a man's last words were, forgive me. I'd rather hear someone say, forgive me, at the end than to someone to assume they're saved and never deal with their sin. I can talk positively about people who ask God to forgive them. How can God forgive our sin if we're not taught to repent of our sin? One preacher out in California says man doesn't have a sin problem. He has a low self-esteem problem. That's what we need, is more pride produced in the church of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And tens of thousands of people sit there and follow. And then people who know better have this person as a guest on their program. Some walls between denominational structures need to be torn down. And some walls need to be reinforced in order to preserve the faith that was once delivered to the saints. In the name of love, you don't compromise the faith. Can you say amen? We can only teach the things that we have seen and heard, the apostle said. We can't teach what the world wants. We can't teach what a compromised church wants. We can only preach what we have seen and heard. And I'm convinced that his sheep still listen to his voice, even in this 21st century. And I'm convinced there is a real church that's after the real truth. Can you say amen? It gives me great courage, amen, to declare it. I'm convinced there are people who have not bowed their knees to Baal. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm convinced there's people that want to hear about the true riches. God said, you know what Jesus taught him? If you can't take the riches of this material world and use it properly and put it in its proper place and perspective, how shall you be committed the true riches? How are you going to deal with that is of eternal value if you can't even figure out where to place the natural things, the material things? When they take precedence over the souls of men and women, you're hard-pressed to hear a salvation message on Sunday morning, Christian television. And if you do get it, it probably won't come from the Pentecostal ranks anymore. We bought into a materialistic message that everybody but us knows is not right. A while back they were talking about the riches of the Gentiles going to be given to us. Quoted a scripture out of the Old Testament. Any Bible scholar, even me, even you, even us, look up at the top, it's the restoration of Israel. When all the riches of the Gentiles are given into where Christ has established his headquarters on this earth. It's a day coming, prophetically. But we don't want to wait for Jesus' kingdom to come. We want it now. We want the Tom Cruise life now. We want Brad Pitt's life now. So we take that out of context and we stimulate giving with it. It's like a big water balloon hanging over us, all the wealth of the Gentiles. I mean, that's what we're really after, isn't it? It isn't the kingdom stuff. It's the wealth of the world. That's what we're after. Listen to the message. Jesus fasts. He comes off the fast. He's almost done with it, and he's hungry. And where does Satan take him? One of the places Satan takes him. He takes him to a high place. What does he show him? He shows him the kingdoms of this world. And he says, if you'll bow down and worship me, it's within my power to give you all of this. Amen. Listen, you know how to defeat that? Did he do it? Did he do it? We want what they got. Honey, they need what you got. You may have to, yeah, you may, oh my goodness, yeah, Terry need tires, but he's got the kingdom. They still need what Terry's got. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. He showed him the kingdoms of this world. You know what so many preachers are doing on Sunday? They're showing their people the kingdoms of this world and tell them you can have all this. God wants you to have all this. Babylon is fallen. Can you say amen? The kingdoms of this world are getting ready to fall. It's the kingdom of God that we need to be looking for. And we're not looking for it. Years ago, a young woman got saved in an evangelistic crusade. The message in that crusade was the soon coming of Jesus Christ. The rapture's at the doors. She was sad on the way home. New convert, sad on the way home. You know why? Her husband just got a raise and been promoted. They just brought their dream house.
True story. I was there. Went to church with her. Went to that meeting with her. And she asked the people in the car with her, Jesus, come down. Now we just got our house.
You see the flaw? Is it pretty evident that she didn't have enough sense to know that what he's prepared for us in heaven is better than anything in North Tampa? It's got to be better than that. Taxes go up, you lose it. Storm hits, it comes down. Insurance companies go up, can't meet the payment. Start building big things around you, your taxes are going to go up. You may have to move out of that sucker. What you get in heaven is yours forever. And besides, it's not about this world. This world is passing. If any man love the world, the love of the Father, just not in him. So why should we be waiting for what Hollywood's got to be given to the church? So we can do what? Well, what they're doing. What are they doing with it? What are they doing with it? People teaching it. What are they doing with the wealth? I do not need a Rolls Royce to go to Walmart. Where would you park it? Yeah, and a buggy would find it like a guided missile. I just don't need the status, is what I'm telling. I don't need to make a statement to the world. The world needs what I have. You don't hear me tonight. The world needs this kingdom. Amen. That Rolls can't buy you peace. Praise God. Kingdom joy. Amen. Can't come. Amen. Through gold and silver. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a kingdom that says, take this whole world and give me Jesus if it comes to that. It's worth it. Take everything, even my life. That devotion propelled that early church through their trials and their testing and gave them an influence that a handful of devoted followers of Jesus shook that world and handed us a pure faith through their suffering so we can shake ours. Can you say amen? I've learned something. Everything in this world can't make you happy unless Jesus is the Lord of your life and you're praying for His kingdom to come. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Are you preaching poverty? No, God gave me that car because I needed it to carry on his work. But I wasn't after the car. I wasn't in it for the car. I was in it for Jesus Christ. And I left Tampa Electric and the security. When did you start? I always compare with you. You're the oldest guy that's been there that I have. So, 1973. I think I started in 1974 with Tampa Electric. I think, no, I passed the Holy Spirit of God in 74. I was at Tampa Electric 5. Oh, man, I had to start in 60-something. I got you, brother. I got you. I'm older than you. I started at TECO before you. But I was figuring up there. Yeah, I started in the 60s. Lord have mercy. Amen. Back in the hippie days. Amen. You should have seen my Elvis hair. You should have seen my Elvis sideburns. You should have seen my Elvis. And I'm old as you go. You should have seen my Elvis. It was good. Amen. I could go to the fair right now and get in an Elvis impersonator thing. Amen. Listen to me. Back in the 60s when I started, you know where I could be right now if I'd stayed with them? Number one, I would have security of retirement with my service. Oh yes, yeah, I could have just stayed there. Never went to the Holy Church of God. Never left that job and career behind. Never lived by faith for all of those years. Can you say amen? Just let that look. How many years would I have? Let's say 69, because I was with them 5, going on 6 years before. So, man, I was with them. Yeah. Took the church in 1974, I think, or 73. So 69, 79, 89, 99, 2009, 2010, 41 years with TECO. You think I might be getting myself kind of set for going fishing? Amen? You think I'd have to be worried about too much about the future because you get your Social Security and your retirement? Brother Bill, what's your retirement? Don't have none. The kingdom has took the place because God called me to preach his gospel and fish for men. But I'm going to tell you something. What is the soul worth that came to God over those years? What is that soul's worth? What value can be placed on that soul? What have I sacrificed? Not a thing. What have I... Listen, they followed Jesus and, oh, they didn't become the super rich. But they learned about the kingdom and he asked them a question. They said, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. He turned to them and said, did you lack anything? Well, clearly, amen, they wasn't in the fishing business for fish anymore. Amen, they didn't have all the securities that brought them. Can you say, amen? Listen to me. He said, but did you lack anything? You know what they had learned? That God gives us what pertains to real life and godliness. And that's all that we need down in this temporal fallen world. Having food and raiment. We're happy. We're joyous. We're content. They take us to kill us. It's okay. Because the kingdom we're pursuing is not of this world. Amen. And it brought a devotion from their hearts. That's why we have the gospel in a pure form today, because they didn't drop it. And there's a lot of people trying to dissect it as I stand here today. We must stand up and defend the faith, and we must pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of our needs that the Father knows about will be added to us. God gave me the newest car I had ever had up until that time, 3,700-mile Matador. Hallelujah. And I drove up in the yard in that car, and I said, Pamela, oh, Pamela, God, look what God has done. God has put it on somebody's heart to buy us a brand-new car. Oh, I'm going to go preach and tell everybody. God's going to give you new cars. We're going to fill the church with people coming in to get new automobiles. Oprah had a program back when the Pontiac G6s came out. Guess what she did with the deal with Pontiac for advertisement? Everybody in the audience got a brand new G6 Pontiac. I bet you there was a line to see Oprah next week. Can you say amen? Don't you bet there was a line to go see Oprah? Honey, if all the wealth of Brad Pitt and all of those Hollywood characters is about ready to drop on the church, they're going to line up to get in. But when Jesus preached, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. If anybody comes to follow me and you don't hate father, mother, sister, brother, house, land, and yea, your own life, you can't be my disciple. Did he teach that? It's impossible. If your value system doesn't radically change, forget following me. Because I'm headed for a cross. And my kingdom is not of this world. Today, people follow Jesus for the exact opposite. And we stimulate them to give and to come for the wrong reason. And the love for God has been supplanted with a love for this world and the things in it. And the Bible said, if that's the case, make no mistake about it, the love of the Father is not in you. You're in my house. You're singing my songs. But the motive of your heart is not because you love me for what I've done for you at Calvary. Because you didn't come in here because of the cross. Because the cross isn't even being preached. Amen. So Easter, I'm hearing about money. And I'm saying, Lord, I can't even turn on a gospel channel and hear about you. And that was a few years back. Christmas come around, I'm expecting to hear about the significance of the gift of this baby. I go to one of the major Christian broadcasts, and everybody's dressed up like snow people, Eskimos, and there's fake snow all over the platform, and they're singing, I'm dreaming of a white, and there's nothing wrong. That's a beautiful Christmas song, and I love it. It never gets old. A white Christmas. And I thought, wait a minute. This is Christmas. This is our day. This isn't the world's holiday. This is our holy day. I want to hear something about Jesus. Something about Jesus. So I turn over to the Nashville channel. Kathy Matea, not a preacher, but a Nashville singer, is singing Everywhere I Go, Everywhere I Go, Lord, Everywhere I Go, somebody talking about Jesus. And I say, Jesus, I'm going to sit right here on the Nashville channel. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn off the Christian channel. The world's singing about Jesus, and the church is singing about the worldly song. Unto you is born in Bethlehem a Savior. Hallelujah. How many glad you got a Savior? Praise God. Hallelujah. We're becoming comfortable with the world. And the world is becoming comfortable with us. As long as we blend with it and we don't say anything offensive. And the world church is coming very, very soon. There's an umbrella coming that mainline religions are going to join. And a false prophet is going to lead that movement. And the Antichrist is going to use the cohesion of world religions to help further his agenda to be a world ruler. And when he's done with it, he will destroy it. Because in his heart, he wants to be worshipped as God. Can you say amen? And the message of us being gods with godlike abilities to create with our words, honey, that is moving toward that end. As sure as I'm standing here preaching tonight, your words do not create worlds. Can you say amen? There's one creator and he has a name. He is Jehovah. Can you say amen? Listen to me. God did not create us to rule this world. He is the ruler of heaven and earth. We are the servants of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand your feet tonight, or you're glad you came to Sunday night anyhow? We're glad you came on. Praise God. We were waiting for you. Glad to see you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we've had people come in here and not hear what they wanted to hear, and boy, they zoomed out of here. I'm not going to change it to keep them here, to appear successful in the eyes of men. This is the last day. This is the last of the last days. Many false prophets have went out into the land. Sometime we will We will go through the biblical profile of false teachers. It's very clear, very concise, very precise. Can you say amen? In a day of deception, God's people need to be in the book like they've never been into the book. They need to be on their knees, because your flesh will run after things that satisfy it. But we're told to crucify that flesh. And we're told to walk in the Spirit so that we are not given to the lust of the flesh. And if you stay with me, we're going to find a walk with God that's going to put us in a separate group of people. A people from a people. And I'm not talking about a cult. We're not the only people that are standing true to God in this last day. There are voices out there, amen, that are speaking out. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Amen. Lift it up like a trumpet. God doesn't want us to mumble. He wants us to clearly proclaim His truth. His people will appreciate it and applaud it. Can you say amen? Now, having said that, we're getting ready to quit. My daddy asked me, how does God let this exist? Well, number one, they don't belong to Him, because if they did, things would begin to happen in their life. So they can't belong to Christ. They cannot possibly belong to Christ. You can't belong to Christ without your sin being exposed or chastisement coming. Amen. And for the people who are being chastised and their sin was exposed and they repented, they were really God's children. They went astray. And thank God for the restorative grace that God can give anyone who will call upon His name. Where they stand in pulpits again is a whole different thing. You got to go to your Bible for that. But the restoring power, yes, you can be restored to a fellowship relationship with Christ. But those that are going on headlong in their sin and they're not being exposed or punished, that in itself is one of the worst punishments they could ever have. God has given them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, said, if you won't come when I call you, and I keep calling you, and you harden your heart, and I see your heart is hard beyond anything that will change it, then I'll let you go your way. I won't convict you. I will not call you. I will not bother you. Between here and eternity, you'll go your way. You're going to go headlong into hell, and it's going to shock them. You know why? Because they're going to call Him Lord before they're consigned there. And they're going to talk about what they built, the mighty works that they did in His name. And they did do it in His name. It's supposed to be a Christian church. It's supposed to be all for Jesus. When in fact their ulterior motive is to just fleece God's flock and get rich off of God's people for their own personal gain. Go ye rich men, weep and howl. Weep and howl. What a terrible day that's going to be. When you could have lifted the burden from the poor with your finger, you wouldn't do it. You just wouldn't do it. So we're just about to wind up this thing. And God is calling His people to devote their heart and their life to Him because of what He did for them on the cross. And He's going to find out. Last statement about Jesus. He said, I stand in the garner where the wheat and the chaff are being separated. My fan is in my hand. It's called winnowing. You know what the person with the fan's job is? With that big fan. I'm not talking about electric. I'm talking about swinging it like this. With all your strength. As it goes up in the air and comes back down, the force of that fan separates the chaff. And the only thing that falls back is the golden grains of wheat. Jesus said, make no mistake about it. I'm standing in the garner. My fan is in my hand. You present the gospel as Jesus taught it in this generation, it's going to separate. It's already separated me from many preaching engagements and opportunities. because they don't want this in their pulpit. It separated me, amen, from having a bigger church too, because there are people that will run out that door when they find out we won't preach how to live a self-indulgent life and follow Christ. Can you say amen? And the chaff is being separated from the wheat. In fact, I'm going to make one more statement. It's not Jesus' words per se. Well, it is too. Forgive me for saying I wasn't. Don't ever take me that seriously when I do. Listen to me. Jesus said, it's a narrow gate and it's a straight way that leads to eternal life. And the most religiously appearing time we've ever lived, churchy, few there be that find. I looked up that word straight. And straight doesn't necessarily just mean narrow and a perfect line. Straight means pressure. Following God is going against the grain. Everybody say, if you're going to follow, that's why you got to take up your cross and make a real deal commitment. You go against the culture, you go against the flesh. You have to not be mean to family, but you can't let your family come between you and your soul's salvation. Amen. Can you say amen? Straight is the way. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Few there be. Jesus, who knows and sees everything, said, if you think this popularity of religion and this, they're even, preachers are turning as we stand here tonight to what they call universalism. You know what that means is eventually everybody will be saved because of what he did on the cross. You don't have to repent. You don't have to come to a crucial time in your life where you cry out to the Lord. And there are preachers that are turning, that have preached truth initially, but they turn from the truth to have world's embrace and the world's acceptance. And you're hard-pressed to find defenders of the faith in our generation. But they're there. And when you hear their voices, pray for them. I'm one of those voices. Can you say amen? And if this church emptied, I would pray, God, send me where you have some sheep. Your sheep. Not just in name, but in reality. Because your sheep will hear your voice. A stranger, they will not follow. Praise God. Would you bow your head? I'm going to ask you to do something in your heart of hearts, and we're going to have a quick song here in just a moment. Maybe this is the day of the favor of the Lord. This is the year. You wouldn't know it to look around, but it is. God is working. How committed are you to following Jesus? We had people sign a declaration of commitment to a church. It's hard to get people to make commitments anymore to anything. No wonder marriages break up so easily. People don't know about commitment. They don't know how to keep commitments. They don't honor commitments. You can talk love till you're blue in the face, but until you make a commitment, God says it's phony. It's just phony. We're living in a day of truce breakers. People who don't keep promises. Vacillating. And the hour is late. I want to challenge you to commit your heart to Christ. I'm not talking about this church or me. I'm talking about Jesus. Everything else will fall into place if we ever get people to really fall in love with Jesus enough to commit to him. And just maybe the church can be represented by people who love God more than they love their sin or their self. And maybe the world will be highly impressed when they see how much Jesus is valued among them that follow him. Hallelujah. And many souls will be brought into God's great kingdom of grace and love. This world as we know it will never be the same. If you want to move to Mayberry, I'm sorry, Andy doesn't live there anymore. And Herb, is it Herb? He won't cut your hair, and Barney's not going to write a parking ticket. There's no turning back. We're escalating to the end. This thing's going to run its course now. It's set in motion. The world church, the Antichrist, the apostasy of the church, it's not coming anymore. It's beginning right now. We're involved in it. Shalabakosandarabasida. Fear not, little flock, even in times like this, for you are in the kingdom for a time such as this. Yea, fear not, little flock. Is it not the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Yea, walk in the reality, in the fullness. Yea, walk in the blessing of my kingdom. For the kingdoms of this world are going to shake, and the kingdoms of this world are soon to fall. But the kingdom that you've entered into, and the kingdom that's entered into you, that kingdom is an unshakable kingdom. And that kingdom will stand, and that kingdom will last forever. Rejoice that you are in a kingdom that conquers death. Rejoice that you're in a kingdom that will never end, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Just bring that right up. Will you sing a song with me tonight? I can't help. Listen, my son called me and said, I'm my fifth day without alcohol after over 30 years of drinking. Fifth day without alcohol. I'm so glad to hear for the fifth day without alcohol. Hey, I'm so glad to hear no delirium tremors, no DTs. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, yeah, this is what, oh, yeah, don't talk to me about cars and trash. Can you say amen? That's trash, amen, compared to a soul that's being brought out of a prison house after all of these years. Praise God. My son has hepatitis of the liver. Pray for him. But here's what makes my heart rejoice. He said, Daddy, if they tell me my liver is damaged beyond repair and stopping drinking will not save me from dying. Amen. He said, Daddy, I'm so glad to be free from alcohol. And I'm so glad that Jesus is my King. Hallelujah. Listen to me. He said, if they tell me I've got 6 months to live, I'm going to live it alcohol free. And I'm going to be glad. He said, as bad as this old world is getting, going to heaven is not such a bad deal. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. You can't get that with Bill Gates' billions. If they tell him he may not live another 6 months, his whole world crashes. That kingdom can be shaken. We've received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Can you say amen? Woo! Hallelujah! You know what I'm talking about. You've been there. You've done that. But you got a testimony. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. I want to see the prisoner set free. God will give you a vehicle. God will give you some duds. God will give you a roof. And God will give you something for your belly. But first he wants to give you something for your soul. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise. Woo! Hallelujah.